The very, very simple message I have this morning, God will help me to be able to go through it all. Very simple, and it's just to really be an echo, not a voice, an echo to what Pastor's already said. Watch Night Service, and last Sunday as well, Pastor touched on the profile of a supernatural achiever, and I'm going to be taking off from there. I'm going to be doing a part two of that because he wasn't able to finish the message. So I'm just going to tell you some things that you already know, but maybe a little bit of things that you don't know about this morning, and God will help us as we do that in Jesus' name. Daniel 11:32. That's the word for this church this year. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know, can you please in your Bible underline the word know? The people who what? Know their God shall be strong. Can you underline the word be strong? And carry out great exploits, or do great exploits. Also, underline the word great exploits. Underline the word great exploits. The people that know their God shall be strong, and they shall do great exploits. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light, revelation and understanding to the simple. We pray, oh God, that even as we share your word today, that you will enlighten it in the hearts of your people this morning, that it might profit us in order for us to do exploits for your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Like I said, last week, Pastor started talking to us, and what nice service started talking to us about the year of the supernatural, that this year God is going to do supernatural exploits through King Scott Chapel. And that includes you and I, because when we say King Scott Chapel, we're not talking about the building, we're talking about the people of God. So God is saying to you and I that this year we're going to do supernatural achievements or supernatural exploits for him. And like I said, I got very excited because I know that God is a supernatural God. And if he says that he created you and I in his image and his likeness, that means he created us to do supernatural things as well. So the question now is, if God has created us to be supernatural beings, because we are not, what you see of me is not who I am, the real person you don't know. Yeah? Who I'm looking at now is not the real person. The real person is a person of the Spirit, made in the image and the likeness of God. So if God has created me to be like him, why am I not experiencing the supernatural exploits and achievements that God has promised to every believer, to every child of God? Is it that God is lying? No. God cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie. He's the uncreated creator. He's the father of spirits. He's the one that made the heavens and the earth. So if he says a thing, it's already finished. He makes the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. So if he says that we are supernatural beings, that is it. So the problem, therefore, is not with God. The problem is with me. What am I not doing? What haven't I keyed into as a child of God that has not enabled me to begin to operate the way God wants me to operate and be able to see the achievements or exploits that God would want for me? And as I began to ponder upon this word, I thought to myself, if I ask you, for instance, what do you call the child of a dog? A puppy or a little dog, isn't it? What do you call the child of a cat? Or a little cat? What do you call the child of an eagle? An eaglet or a little eagle. What do you call the child of God? Some people don't want to say. They're like, she's now blaspheming. She's calling us gods. Yes, you are gods. The Bible says that you are gods, but it's just that you don't know it. And because you don't know it, you die like ordinary men. Let's look at Psalm, because before they start saying that she's blaspheming, Psalm 82 verse 6, quickly. I want to stir something on the inside of you this morning. Psalm 82, verse 6. Quickly. It's on the screen. This is God speaking. And he says, I have said, ye are gods. Little G-O-Ds. We are not God. No man is God. But God is saying, when I made you after myself. I made you to operate as a little G-O-D. And it says, and all of you are children of what? The Most High. Can you put the next verse there? Verse 7. But ye, not you, but if you don't know who you are, it's saying, you will die, not you, they will die like men and fall like one of the princes. That means you will operate below your potential. You will operate as a little G-O-D. And so you won't be victorious. You'll be easily defeated, and you'll be able to tap into the exploits and the power that resides on the inside of you. So what then is the problem? What do I need to do in order to key into operating on this level? The first thing that we need to do this year in order to be a supernatural achiever is to know God for what? For yourself. Put that down. It's going to be a very simple message because I believe in keeping it simple. There's no point coming, you get all the bombardment and you take nothing away with you. Know God for yourself. The Bible says that they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, immediately, the question that comes to mind is, of course, I know God. What's Pastor Timothy talking about? I've been a Christian since I was in secondary school. I've been a Christian since I was in university. I've been a Christian for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Of course, I know God. There's nothing else to know about God. But I'd like to submit to you that a lot of us know about God, but we don't really know God for ourselves. We know about the God that maybe somebody else tells us about. Maybe when we come now, like now I'm telling you about God. Some people's experience doesn't go beyond that. Some people, when they read the Bible, they just read the scriptures, they read the parables, they read all the stories, in quotes, in the Bible, and they remain as stories to them. It's like, it's not real. It's so far-fetched. They can't relate to God. They can't relate to some of the things that happened in the Bible. They think it's something that happened, you know, in the times of Jesus, when God says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So they think those things don't apply anymore. They think it's, you know, some people say it's a God of the Old Testament or it's a God of the New Testament, as if he's not the same God we're talking about. They pick and choose. They'll pick some things from the New Testament, pick some things from the Old Testament. If it doesn't suit them, depending on what you're talking about, then he's the God, that's the Old Covenant, that's the New. No. It's the same God in both places. So some people's knowledge is just what they read, you know. They read it, but it doesn't resonate with them. They don't have a personal experience of God. You know, the other day, Minister Yomi was talking, when he was sharing his testimony, he said, I have come to realize that God is now my Jehovah, what? Jireh. Why? Because he's experienced God as the one that provides for him. He's gone beyond God, Jehovah Jireh in the Bible. He has become flesh. The word has become flesh. He's lived it. He's seen it. So nobody can take that away from him. With me, I've experienced God as the God that heals, the God that restores, the God that puts you together when you're down. So you can't come and tell me that it doesn't exist. I've seen him at work in my life. Some people have seen God as God the healer. So you can't take that testimony away from them. So when we're talking about God, you know, you need to realize that if I haven't experienced this God, then maybe I don't really know him. Maybe the knowledge of God I have is very superficial. A lot of people's knowledge of God is just surface. You know, they're Christians, but they don't tap into what is available to them. And it's such a disservice. It's so unfortunate that we have the God of the universe that has come down and said, you know what, I want to be your father. I want to live in you. I want to tabernacle with you. I want to dwell on the inside of you. I want to talk to you on a daily basis. I want to show you things about your life. But we don't even take time to find out about him. We don't even take time to try and go beyond the surface, to dig deeper into this God that we say is our God. If we are on that level, there's no way we can do supernatural exploits. It's not possible. It's not possible. Some people just experience God as God the Savior. You know, when Minister Sarah was taking the prayer meeting this morning, it was really good. She talked about this. She touched on this. Said a lot of people know God as God the Savior. So, yes, I've given my life, and they leave it there. They just know him as Savior, the one that saved their souls, the one that wrote their name in the book of life. But it's beyond that. If you know God as God, as Lord, Master, and everything, you won't question him. You won't want to offend him. If he says jump, you say how high. You won't begin to dabble and begin to argue when God tells you to do something or live in sin. People that operate at the Savior level, they don't know God as God the Lord. And that's why they do that. So a lot of people's experience or knowledge of God, very superficial. They that know their God shall be strong. The Bible says, she quoted this morning, Minister Sarah, Philippians 3, verse 10, that I might know him. Yeah? In the fellowship, what? Of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. A lot of us don't know him. We want to know him, but not in the fellowship of his sufferings. We just want to know him as the one that when we have a problem, we go to him, he fixes it. You know? A lot of us, the attitude we have with God is, we just think God is just, what do you call those machines? Slot machines. You go in there, you put your prayer request, he answers it. Until the next time again, you put in your prayer request, you answer it. And that's all we know about God. There's no way you can do supernatural exploits if you're on that level. No way. So what am I talking about? The knowing that I'm talking about this morning is, I actually looked it up in the Hebrew. I don't do this. I don't know why God led me, because I don't like Hebrew, Greek, and all those things, because I think it just confuses people. But when I was preparing for this message, God led me to some site, and I found the word know. And it says the word know in Hebrew means yada. Y-A-D-A. Yada. That word in Hebrew means to acquire knowledge, to be acquainted with, to find out, to seek, to know by experience, to know intimately. I love that word. To know intimately. Every husband and wife, I hope, know themselves intimately. They know everything about the other party, the way the person thinks, what gets them happy, what makes them sad. They know the person's voice on the phone. You know your wife or your husband intimately. And that's the kind of knowing I'm talking about. So that goes beyond surface. Because all I know about him is what I see of him on Sunday. I don't live with him. But his wife knows some things about him, a lot of things about him that I don't know. Now I can claim that I know AGK, but do I really know AGK? And that's how it is with us. We can claim that we know God, but it's only his wife that really knows him. So that's the kind of knowing that God is talking about this morning, where you begin to know him as a husband knows his wife. In fact, that word know is the same word that was used when Adam knew his wife. It's the same word that we're talking about in Daniel 11. So God is saying, I don't want you to just experience me I want you to experience me intimately for yourself. Because when you get to that level, then you'll be able to do exploits for me. You know, like I said, one of the most painful things about the present-day church, especially, unfortunately, on this side of the ocean, of the Atlantic, where I come from, people are hungry for God, very hungry for God. They go beyond the normal. But in this society that we live in, you know, it's a fast society, we are very comfortable. We don't really need God, you know, per se, like that, you know. So people are just content to come on Sunday, hear what the pastor has to say to them, and then go back and not go and find out for themselves. Not go and seek for themselves. People want you to just hand it down to me. Just you go and do the research and just give it to me. But you can't do exploits like that. Some people here, the only time they open their Bible is when we come to church and we say, open Daniel 11. How many of you have gone back to look at that word for the year? This word, how many of you have gone back and said, Pastor said this is a year of supernatural exploits, and I want to be a partaker of this. So let me begin to, what does it mean? God, what exploits do you want me? How many of you have done that? One person is facing this, a few of you. Praise the Lord for you guys. But for the majority of us, it's like, until we say open it in church, that's when we open it. And then till next Sunday again, when Pastor says open Daniel 11, we open it again. And we want to do exploits. Some people don't even have Bibles at all. And they've been Christians for 6 months, a year. If you're a new believer, we understand. I'm not talking to new believers that have just given their lives within less than 3 months. Because if you come into the faith, you come into a new family, you want to know everything about that family. You want to find out. So if you're a new believer, I'm not talking to you. But if you've been a Christian for over 6 months, there's no excuse for you. Some people, it's the same Gideon Bible. You know Gideon Bible that they used to give us in secondary school and university. That's the same Bible they've been... Only New Testament. That's not a complete Bible. And you want to do exploits. It's not possible. The only time they praise is when we come to... That's why, you know, sometimes when we come to church and you see the choir trying to wind people up, trying to wind them up, warm up now, warm up. And they're just... Because all throughout the week, they haven't praised him. They haven't spent any time in worship, and they want to do exploits. They haven't taken time to worship this God that we're talking about, to find out about him. So when we come, we have to warm you up, lift up your hands, worship. Come on. And you want to do exploits for him. Some people don't have any gospel CD in their house. One tape. How many of you, after service, have even said, this song that the choir is singing, I like this song. Come on, you guys, what song is it? Tell me, let me write it down. I want to go and learn it myself. People don't do that. I don't want to do exploits. But you have all the latest, Mary J., what's her name, Blige, and Beyonce. You have all those. You know what's happening. There's this new channel now, Hi TV. You know everything that's happening. All the latest Nigerian whatever. You know. Or Ghana. You know you are there. But one CD, one gospel CD, one tape you don't have in your house. And you want to do exploits. I don't understand how you think that that's going to happen. You don't know. You don't go seeking. You don't go acquiring, trying to acquire knowledge. Some people don't know this Bible that we carry every Sunday. Some people, it's only Psalm 91. And Psalm 23 that they know. If they know it. They put it under their Bible. And that's how many books are in the Bible? And you've been a Christian for 5 years, 2 years. You don't know how many books are in the Bible. You can't tell me how many chapters are in the Bible. If we say open Zephaniah, you say, which? Zephaniah. Where's that one? Zephaniah. Is pastor speaking in tongues? Open Colossians. Colo. Remember that? There was a message I listened to. Somebody said, open Colossians. Colo, 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 Colo what? They don't, it's like, where is Colo? Which one is Colo again? You can't do exploits like that. But when we talk about world economy, you tell us, yes, Japan and China and this and America, yes, it's coming down. The world economy is crashing. What's happening in the Bible, you don't know. And we want to do exploits. You know, God just started speaking to me and said, tell my children, you know, you can't mock God. Whatever you sow, if you sow unto the flesh, the Bible says of the flesh, you will what? Reap corruption. If you sow unto the spirit, you will reap everlasting life. You reap good things. You know, we need to take time to know this God that we are talking about. We can't be too busy for God. I don't have time. But you have time to talk on the phone. Your mobile is perpetually on. You are always topping up. Top up, top up. But you don't top up with God, though. Topping up with God is not part of the agenda. But you can top up and talk to your phones, your friends. You're always on the phone. But to talk to God for 30 minutes, you're looking at the time. God, I have to go to work. But when your friend calls or that guy calls you late into the night, you talk till 2 a.m. But you can't pray till 2 a.m. and you want to do exploits. You want to do exploits. This year, those that know their God shall be strong. Those that go beyond the normal, those that after the service, they take the tape, they sit down, they meditate, they digest, they inquire, they incubate the word of God. Those are the ones that God is talking about. I don't know if you're going to be on that side. I'm going to be on that side this year. You know, we need to be like people that pant for him. The psalmist says in Psalm 42 that, you know, as a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs and desire. I'm always hungry for God. I don't know. I just want more of him. And if you get to a stage where you think, I'm cool now, me and God, we're tight, that's the day that you start backsliding. Because there's no stagnation. There is no slowing down. So no matter, because you might think, she's talking to the new believer. Wherever you think you are, there is more ground to conquer. There is always more to know about God. You can never, the Bible says his ways are unsearchable. You can never know enough until you cross over to the other side. Paul said in Philippians 3 verse 8 to 14, if you put it on the screen for me. With everything that he knew about God, he said, I consider it as dung, as rubbish. I just forget about it. I want to keep on pressing until I attain more for God. I'm paraphrasing here. I haven't arrived. I want to know more about everything that I knew before. I put it aside that I might lay hold of the reason why Christ apprehended me. So that's how we need to be this year. Everything you knew, start afresh this year. Challenge yourself this year. You know, I just told myself, I said, this year, you must read the whole of the Bible this year. Yes. And it's possible. Do something that you haven't done before. Go beyond the normal this year. Know God for yourself. Don't be content with what just coming on Sunday. Unfortunately, we don't have a midweek service. So some of you, it's just Sunday to Sunday Christianity. That's not going to take you. You're not going to go far like that with God. You won't be able to be a supernatural achiever like that. The next thing, the next point, quickly, be strong. Be strong. They that know their God shall be what? Be strong. Pastor said beginning of this year that this year is not going to be a smooth sailing year. 2009, what nice service. He said, you know, it's going to be tough for a lot of people. And it's already started happening. Who, what, how many? 25,000. Marks and Spencer the other day, another 1,000. People, they're laying people off everywhere. That won't be your portion. But if God is saying be strong, you know, he forewarns you because he can see ahead. So he's saying, don't worry, I've got it sorted. But you know what? Be strong anyway when the challenges come. Because they will come. There's no way you can overcome except something what comes. That's why it's called overcome. So it has to come. When it comes, then you overcome. Then you are victorious. So if you want to be a supernatural achiever, and you're saying, I don't want to go through anything, I don't want to go through any testings, any shakings, any trial, any challenges, then you don't really want to be, so you're not ready for supernatural achievements this year. But God is saying, be strong, because when the wind blows, as it's been blowing, the wind of the credit crunch has been blowing, it's only the things that are rooted. Have you ever seen an oak tree fall down easily when the wind is blowing? But a shrub, phew, not only is it blown away, it's uprooted. You don't even find its roots after some time. So if you are not strong in the Lord this year, when the wind blows, we will still find you standing like an oak tree, Iroko tree, where I come from. Solid, firm. Nothing can move it. Nothing can shake it. No matter what the economy is saying, no matter what the marriage situation is saying, nothing can shake you. You are unshakable. You are stable. You are rooted. You are firmly rooted in God. Be strong. Because this year, your education is not going to help you. Your skills will fail you this year. The people you know, the contacts, they too, they are looking for who to contact. So they don't have your time this year. So they that know their God shall be what? Strong. So church, if you don't know God, if you don't go and seek God for yourself, get a word for yourself, if you're just doing Sunday attendance, it's not going to fly this year for you. It's not going to hack it at all this year. You need to begin to go beyond the norm. The Bible says that for the love of there's a scripture that says that the heart of men failed. I was trying to remember the scripture. But a lot of people, their heart will fail. We heard about that guy that committed suicide. Where was he? America, New York, was it? Over, I can't remember how much. Money. His heart just stopped. Boom! Because he lost billions. Some people, when they lose their job, depression. So you say, okay, maybe suicide is a bit far-fetched. Depression, discouragement. How are we going to survive? And then you begin to say, God is not real. No, he's told you be strong. They that know that God will be strong. What does it mean to be strong? To be strong means to be bold, to increase in strength, to recover from weakness. So the Bible is saying, don't be a weak Christian this year. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Isaiah 40, verse 29. Can we put it on the screen, please? Isaiah 40, 29. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. So if you say, I'm very weak, God is saying, I'll give you power. I will empower you. I'll give you strength. I'll make you strong this year. Because if I'm asking you to be strong, I won't tell you to do something that you can't do. So if I'm saying be strong, that means my power is available to make you strong. Matthew 26, we're going to look at somebody quickly. Matthew 26. Peter, the story of Peter is a bit long, so we won't have time to really read it all the way through. So when you get home, you can read it in your own time, because this year you're going to go beyond the norm. You go home, search the scriptures for yourself. Matthew 26, from verse 69. This is when Peter denied Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that his name was Simon before, and Jesus changed his name to Peter. Simon means reed, unstable, weak, you know, not stable, he's not strong. And Jesus had to change his name to Peter. But it says here, from verse 69 to verse 79, when they came to take Jesus, Jesus had already told him he was going to deny him, but he said, no, if everybody leaves you, I won't leave you. And some people, that's what's going to happen to them this year. When things start getting tough, they say, this God is not real. I've been praying. And if you are God, how did I lose my job? If you are God, they just begin to deny God. And it says here, now Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear. Say, Peter, curse and swear. Curses were saying, I do not know the man. I don't know him. I don't know him. And it says immediately a rooster crowed, and Jesus and Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Let's look at Acts. We are laughing. Don't laugh too much. Acts 4. Acts 4. Verse 13. So this is talking about the story of the man that was lame, that was healed by Solomon's port. In verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized, can you underline that? Realized they had been with Jesus. Underline that whole line. They realized they had been with Jesus when they saw their boldness. Same Peter that was cursing, swearing by oath and everything, that denied Jesus, wanted to run away. This same Peter was the one that was now standing up and saying, this Jesus that you crucified, he is the Son of God. How is that possible? He was a weakling before, but God, it says there, when they saw that he had been with Jesus, they realized that that was where he got his boldness from. So this year, if you're going to be strong, you need to be with Jesus. You need to spend time with Jesus. The disciples were hiding in the upper room. 120 of them, they were hiding. Remember, they just killed Jesus now. So nobody was sure of who was next. And so they were hiding there thinking, I don't want to go next. I don't want to be crucified. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost came and filled them with power. And after the Holy Ghost came upon them, they went out into the streets with boldness and began to utter words and began to speak in tongues. And people were like, is this the same people that had been hiding? Where did they get their power from? They realized they had been with Jesus. So if you're going to be strong this year against the storms and the winds that will be blowing, you need to spend time with him. Because when you spend time with Jesus, he empowers you. He makes you bold. He makes you strong. You look at the devil in the eye and you tell him where to go. You are not fazed. You know, you have a confidence that comes upon you that you can't explain. You don't know the source, but you can't explain the source, but the source really is Jesus. Spending time with him. The Holy Spirit endues you with boldness because he says that the righteous shall be what? As bold as a lion. So if you are not strong, if you are weak, he will give you strength, but you need to spend time with him. You need to become strong emotionally. Too many of us are weak emotionally. Up today, down tomorrow, depending on the situation, we are led by our feelings. Oh, I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like praying today. I don't feel like reading my Bible because somebody didn't say hello to you. For the whole week, you are crying. For the whole week, you can't pick yourself up. Somebody said this about me. Somebody criticized me. Somebody was backbiting. And you are down. Or if you're a single person, they jilt you. A boyfriend leaves you and you want to kill yourself because of that. You are weak emotionally. They say something about you, so what? That's why they're called backbiters. They are behind. You are going somewhere. You don't have time for critics. You don't have time to answer critics. But some people, they can't even pick themselves up. She looked at me somehow. She didn't greet me. She has the problem, not me. Really? Do you know what happened to her in the house before she came, or what happened to him? So why do you assume that it's you she's fighting with? But some people, this paralyzes them. There are so many banana Christians in the kingdom. No backbone. Spineless. Emotion. God is saying, be strong. What's wrong with you? Brace yourself up. Let the devil bring his best. You look at him in the eye and tell him where to go. Say, God is still on my side. It's not over till it's over. Be strong. Don't be a weakling. Don't settle for less. As a single person, somebody, one John Toronto comes with Caleb, and then you begin to, you, because, oh God, I say, oh God, yeah, baby, yeah, the best thing since sliced. So what, I'm the best thing since, I know, I already know I'm the best thing since sliced bread, because you know what, I've been with Jesus, and he told me that this morning. So what else have you got for me? What else have you got for me? Don't be a desperate single. Before he comes with his trouser, one trouser up, one down. You're ready for what's wrong with you? Be strong. Those that have been with Jesus, they know that, yes, I already know I'm the best thing. Mm-hmm. Bring something else that I don't know. What are they saying at the back there? Spiritually, you need to be strong. Some people, you don't have weight spiritually. I'm going to say this joke. I was speaking to one of my daughters and she was talking about one guy. He said, he's fine, no. He's got biceps. And I said, hey, he's got biceps. I said, hey, does he have biceps in the spirit? Can he lift weights in the spirit? And you know, a lot of us, we look at the guy, he's fine. He's got a car. He's got. Does he have weight in the spirit? Does he have, what are you carrying in the spirit? You know? You see, I said, what is that? Biceps? Tell me about biceps in the spirit, man. Then we are talking. Some guys, they don't have any weight in the in the spirit world. They are just fed up with the enemy comes and just blows them. And then you want to marry that kind of person. Spiritually, this year, once more problem. Pastor, minister, pray for me. You to pray for yourself. It's true now. Exploits. Supernatural exploits. Say, greater is he that is in me. Where's the devil? Bring him here. Take your children, lay hands on them yourself. Put oil on them. Say, devil, in this home, you are not allowed. You've crossed the line. Spiritually, be strong. Don't be a weakling. Don't let the circumstance put you under this year. Don't be easily phased. Unmovable. Peter used to be a reed, you know. He just flows with the wind. Denied Jesus. And then, no, but he became strong and he became a solid rock. And that's what you need to be this year. David, last week, the pastor was talking about David. David, why was he able to face Goliath? He was a man that spent a lot of time in worship. A lot of the Psalms, he wrote a lot of the Psalms. He spent a lot of time with the sheep, which was his advantage. So he had time to meditate upon God. So he knew the God that he said, this Goliath, his shish kebab for Jesus. Bring him. I will cut his head off. And that's how a lot of you need to be. When you spend time with Jesus, you look at the devil and say, what audacity? In this house, you don't face your husband or your wife. When there's a challenge, you begin to fight your wife. You face the person that is causing the problem. You don't start fighting your husband. Where did I leave a door open somewhere? How did you enter here? Can you see any of your goods in this place? But then, if you are drinking pina colada with him, you drink pina colada with the devil, you are living in sin, you don't obey God, you don't honor God with your life, then you can't rebuke him. He will just say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Excuse me. Who? Weren't you with me yesterday? Where were you yesterday? Weren't you in the bed yesterday? You are rebuking me. He will deal with you. I knew what you were doing yesterday on the computer. And you want to, in fact, they said they naked them, beat them down, they say it. I'm a socialized, they say it in a very funny way. Strip them naked and dealt with them. So I'm talking about those that know their God. They don't compromise. So when the enemy comes in, they say, you're good. The Bible says of Jesus, when the enemy said, he came to Jesus, says he found nothing of himself in Jesus. Is there anything of yours here? But that's why you need to know God. So God will tell you, quickly, deal with this thing. I'll give you strength. If you say, ah, God, help me, I'm weak. I keep losing my anger and my temper. I keep getting, say, help. Go, just go to God and say, help me. If you realize you have a weakness, don't just let the weakness stay there. Say, God, it says I'll give power to the weak. If you realize you're weak in whatever area, God, help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Don't let the devil get to God before you. Always, in everything that you do, if you have a problem, report yourself quickly to God. Don't let, you know, he's the accuser. So he's always going through and through. Who can I accuse today? So if there's anything in your life that is untoward, quickly, quick to repentance, quickly go to God and settle the matter. God, I have a problem this year. God, I did this yesterday. Father, forgive. Don't let the devil get there before you. Because if he gets there before you, it's a problem. By the time he gets there, say, yeah, I know. My son already told me that yesterday. We are working on it. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Get out of here. We are working on it. We are working on it. It's not perfect yet. I'm still perfecting him. I know he told me this morning. We prayed about it. Get out. So, time with Jesus. He will highlight things in your life that are not pleasing to him. And you can deal with it. Is somebody getting something this morning? Increase your Bible reading. Well, I don't know how God speaks to me. It means that you don't read enough of the word. Because it says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they won't follow. If you spend enough time in the Word, you will get to know how God speaks to you. When your husband phones you on the phone, don't you know his voice? If Mr. Rotimi calls you, you will know it's not your husband. If you're not Mrs. Odeniro. So, if the enemy speaks to you, if you spend enough time with Jesus, you spend enough time, you say, ah, Satan, get out of here. That's not the voice of my father. I know the voice of my father. You're telling me I should go and compromise. I should lie on my CV. Get out of here. That's not God. But some people say, you know, it's the economic situation. And God, heaven helps those that help themselves. So we have to doctor the CV a little bit. Those that know that God shall be strong. Increase your fasting this year. We're talking about exploits, supernatural exploits. Some of us, kenke and akpu and all those things won't allow us to fast this year. Oh, did I say kenke? Oh, I meant beef stroganoff, please, and filet mignon. We can't fast because of the akpu and the kenke. And we love our food too much. Ah, say, fast? 3 o'clock? We just finished fasting in November. They're calling church fast again. This church, we like fasting too much. Some things cannot go out by prayer and fasting. There are some situations that you're going to face this year. My friend, food should be the last thing on your mind, though. You face it head on in the place of prayer and fasting. Then you begin to do exploits. If you're not praying, if you don't know how to pray, start praying. Just start. Come for prayer meeting. We're going to start some prayer initiatives. We'll be announcing that during the announcement. You know, do something new this year. Start praying. God will begin to speak to you. What exploits he wants you to do for him. So you need to increase that. If you've been praying before, increase it from 30 minutes to 1 hour. Push yourself beyond 2008 this year so that you can be a partaker of that word. The last point. Do what? Do exploits. It's not enough to know. It's not enough to be strong. You also have to do. You have to do. God has invested a lot in you and I. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we can put it up. 2 Corinthians 4:7. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Turn to your neighbor, say, I have a treasure on the inside of me. I have treasure on the inside of me. It's just that you don't know it yet. Tell them, it's just that you don't know it yet. But this year, you will discover my exploits. God has put a great treasure on the inside of every vessel. You are the vessel that we're talking about. And he's saying to you here, I have put something on the inside of you. I have put something on the inside of you that the world is waiting for. It's just that you don't know it. Some of us, we don't know it because we haven't stepped out to do anything for him. We've been coming to KCC for 2 years, 3 years, four, five. We still belong to the section of bench warmers. That's a permanent section. We just come in, we go out. Come in, you just breeze in and out when it suits you. And you've been a member of this assembly for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and you want to do a great exploit. You think God will just move, just grab you from your sitting position and just move you to where? You need to begin to do something. You have sat for too long. The first three letters of Satan is what? Start. The first two letters of God is what? Go. Do something. Get up. Do exploits. It doesn't say sit down. You need to do. Action. Action. Some of us, our membership in church is so shallow. I was talking about shallowness before. Very shallow. Surface. You don't even know. Just come and go. You don't know how the chairs are arranged. You don't know. Just come and go. How can you? It's like somebody coming into my, I enter my house one day. Can you imagine? And I just see people sitting down in my house. Like, who are you? How did you get in here? I say, I live here now. Sir, you live in this house? When? And that's how some of us are. You are in this family. You've been here for 2-3 years. Nobody knows you. You're just a secret agent. Phew. 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 You belong to the secret service. Nobody knows you. Just, and you're like, are you a member? Yes, pastor. Some people, they get offended. How am I supposed to know? If somebody lives in my house, I'll know you now. You don't do anything. You have treasures. Some of us, we and I'm not talking about pulpit. I'm not saying come and preach. Some of us even, the anointing on the inside of you is even, if you were to know it, you won't be sitting down. But I'm not even talking about pulpit ministry only. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you want to do exploits for Jesus this year, you cannot remain sitting. If we had remained in the boat of Trinity Chapel 5-6 years ago, would we be here? I would have realized what God, when I was in Trinity Chapel, yeah, because I was there by reason of God positioning us there. Some things happened, but half of the things that are happening to me now didn't happen to me when I was in Trinity Chapel. If we had remained in the boat, if Peter had remained in the boat, would he have walked on water? He would just have remained on, this is water, and I think I can walk on it though. Like, I think I can. Okay, maybe tomorrow I'll walk. Oh, I don't have time to walk today. They said we should be a worker, be a helper. I don't have time this year. You make the time for the things that are important to you. That's not an excuse. Some people, I have children. Don't we have children? I go to work. I work. I'm not like I'm a full-time pastor. I work. Pastor up until this year used to work. So that's not an excuse. Please, spare me. Do something for God. You know, like, we don't go, I can't drive. We just look for excuses. And you want to do exploits. It's not going to happen that way. Bench warming membership must end this year. Amen. Challenge yourself. Find out what we need. You know, we need people to pray. We need people in hospitality. We need people to join the choir. Some of you have great, your voices are angelic voices, but you're just sitting there singing in your bathroom. And you want to do it. Who's going to discover you in your bathroom? Until you step out, you don't know what you carry. You won't know, some of you will never know, until you start writing that book. You will never know that God has called you to be a great author. Until you start, some of us are so good, we can decorate, very good with interior decor. I'm talking about some of you, you can sew very well. When we were in Trinity Chapel, there was this lady, she used to make beads and hats. That's all she, for herself, not even for people. She was just very creative, and when she's going for a wedding, she would just create something nice. And people started saying, this is where did you get it from? Where did you get your beads from? It's really nice. So I made him. I said, you're really good. Oh, you're really good. You're really good. She has two shops today, one in Nigeria, one here in the West End, from our kitchen table. But we were waiting for God to come and drop money from. You have it on the inside of you. Some of you, wise men apparel. There are big dons in Nigeria. It's a tailor. Don't call it what it is. It's not tailoring. Call it what it is. You say, us fashion. that's that one is still piping in. Tailor. And they're paying in millions. Some of you can sew very well, bespoke. You start your own thing, but you're just sitting. You're not doing anything. Some of us are very good with baking. Some of us, we can smile, we can encourage. Little things. I'm not talking about, you see, when we say, we think, ah, they don't want us to come and preach. No. You have some, tell your neighbor, you have at least one gift. You have at least one talent. At least one talent. God has not given, he has left us with at least one. When he was talking about the talents or the parable of the talents, from what is it, 10, 5, 2, and at least two, and it's at least one. You've got at least something that God can use. Something that can launch you into abundance, that can launch you into exploits this year. You know, some people will say, but I've tried before now, I failed. The fact that you failed at something doesn't mean that you'll fail again. Some of us, we are afraid to step out because of our inadequacies, you know, inadequacies, or we are in our insecurities, or you don't want, you know, I used to be like that. We're talking about being bold. When I said, you know, when you begin to spend time with God, you know who you are, and you develop a confidence and a boldness. When I was in, I was telling one of my daughters the other day, so when I was in university, even when I was in Trinity Chapel, you say, come and take an announcement, you want to kill me. announcements. You want to kill me. Because I'll just be looking like this. You know, get there. You know, go to Care Fellowship. I was telling somebody when I was in Nigeria. Thank you. When I was in Nigeria, I used to go to a Care Fellowship. They say, share. What? Read the scripture. Nothing will come out. I used to be so insecure, unsure of myself. What has made a difference? Spending time with Jesus. I now know why. So all those things, God will begin to take it away. He'll begin to remove all those insecurities. Some of us, you know, we are fear intimidation of people. You know, what would they think? What would they say? You can't, and because of that, you're sitting in the boat. How long are you going to remain? If Peter had sat, if he had been like the other disciples, they were too scared. What would they think? What would they say? They sat there, but he stepped out. And as he stepped out, God began to deal with all the things that needed to be dealt with in his life. If you failed at something, try again. If you failed the exam, try again. If you failed at the business, try again. The Bible says the righteous man will what, 7 times? He will get up again. It's not over until it's over. Don't let fear or failure be a hindrance this year for you. The unprofitable servant, what did he say? Matthew 25:25. His excuse for not doing anything was he was afraid. Matthew 25:25, we can put that up. Matthew 25:25. I think I'll probably get there faster than the team. It says, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. I was afraid and I hid my talent. What's your excuse this morning for hiding your talent? What's your excuse for not doing exploits this year? Is it going to be the same excuse that you gave last year and the year before? God has promised us in this house, this is a year of supernatural exploits. God and the whole of humanity, there is somebody that is waiting for you to arrive. There is somebody that is waiting for you to stand up from where you've been sitting. There is somebody that needs something that's on the inside of you. But fear, intimidation, insecurity, whatever it is, is keeping you sitting down and hiding your gift. You can't experience exploits like that this year. The world is waiting for you. I said the world is waiting for you. The world is waiting for you. We are waiting for you. We are waiting for you this year. Are you going to be one of those that do exploits? Let's rise to our feet this morning.